Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did. Glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I know why you're here. You're here because you know who's coming up on our show this half hour. Our good friend Governor Pete DuPont, former governor of the great state of Delaware, former congressman from Delaware, former presidential candidate for the president of the presidency of the United States, and now he's the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, and one of my favorite of all the great Americans, one of my favorites, and he's our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Governor DuPont, right now the country is in the grips of extremely high, record high oil prices and gasoline prices, $135 or so a barrel. It seems to be hanging around above $130 a barrel. And, you know, I know that some of that is supply and demand. I know that there's an increased demand for petroleum in the third world countries. But a lot of that is not. A lot of that speculation based on the availability of oil. And so I think we could fix this availability if the United States could just go get the oil that we have and increase the inventories. We could fix those speculators, couldn't we?
Well, we sure could. And in fact, we've had three presidents, the first President Bush, then President Clinton, and then the current President Bush, all of whom have signed on to banning offshore oil drilling. We're the only country in the world, I believe, that has done that. Mm-hmm. And there's enormous energy opportunities out there, but our policy is, I think, very odd. Our presidents and Congress haven't allowed us to drill for offshore oil, take Alaska, for example. They haven't encouraged the building of nuclear power plants, which would reduce our need for oil.
More refineries that would increase the production of gasoline?
Yeah, refineries have expanded a little, but not new ones have been built. Coal fire plants are coming under criticism. People want to shut those down. So we've got a real challenge. And out there, and this is the important number, out there on the continental shelf, we have 85 billion barrels of oil and 420 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. That's an 18-year supply of natural gas out there, and we can't drill for it.
But Cuba's drilling for it, and you know, if they started drilling sideways, they could go over and get our oil and suck it right out of there.
You bet. And another example, China is planning to build two or three nuclear power plants a year.
Wow.
To solve their energy challenges, we're not building any. We haven't built one for what?
30 years.
30 years, right?
Yeah,
that's exactly right. 30 years ago. So we've got enormous coal resources. And
so why can't we come up with a policy? You know, Governor, I don't have a problem with wanting to conserve energy. I don't have a problem. In fact, I like the idea of alternative energy. I'd like to come up with an energy that would replace carbon fuels. I'm happy about that. I would like to work toward that. But until we do, why can't we be smart about what we have now, what we have the ability to create and to produce right now? Why can't we have an energy policy that's smart about all that, that works on conservation, that works on alternatives, and but also is not backward about the petroleum that we have in our availability? I mean, why can't we have a policy that does all three of those? Why can't we find leadership in Congress and in the White House that will do those three things?
Well, that is exactly what we need. And we could be producing more domestic energy supplies, coal, oil, gas, building nuclear power plants, but we have had a policy for almost 20 years just not to do it. And in this presidential campaign that's coming up, we have Senator McCain saying he would do most of those things, and we have Senator Obama saying, no, we really shouldn't do that. So that's going to be a big issue in the fall, and it ought to be a big issue because we're running out of energy supplies, not because the energy isn't there, but because our public policy is not to go after it.
Mm-hmm. And worse than that, there's debate in Congress right now. It was recently killed, but it'll be coming up again, folks. And you've heard me talk about this recently, the cap and trade legislation. And when we come back, I'm going to get Governor DuPont to talk about that because both presidential candidates, McCain and Obama, favor cap and trade. We're going to get Governor DuPont to tell us how we're going to fix that. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Governor Pete DuPont. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. Excuse me. Governor Pete DuPont, the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org, right, Governor?
That's right, and you'll find all kinds of interesting stuff there. You can calculate the taxes for the rest of your life. I wouldn't advise you to do that.
That'd be too depressing, I think.
Too depressing.
Okay, we're talking about the nation's lack of an energy policy. And, you know, one of the things that there's so much misinformation frankly, downright falsehoods that people are reporting about energy. For example, a lot of people think that Alaska National Wildlife Refuge is going to be turned into one big pool of oil. Folks, the experts I talked to say that the ANWR is 380-something thousand acres of land, and the place they want to drill on to get access to billions of barrels of oil that we sorely need is about 2,000 acres, Governor. Now, what's wrong with doing that? I don't think that's going to hurt Bambi or Thumper if we do that.
It isn't going to hurt anything. The drilling we do for oil in Alaska is not hurting Alaska or the country. It's providing oil to all of America. That's a good thing. But, you know, it's something that's been going 10, 12, 15 years now, and the liberal establishment just thinks we shouldn't be drilling for more oil. But then you hear, then you come to the other end, you hear the current President Bush, who says, you know, we've got to get rid of our reliance on foreign oil.
Right.
Well, one of the ways to get rid of that reliance is to drill for domestic oil.
Well, he said that when he was first running for president back in 1980. In the year 2000. But yet his policies haven't mirrored that, have they?
No, they haven't. And you just don't get it. Why America has energy resources that we can't tap into.
We're shooting ourselves in the foot, is what basically what
we're
doing.
Whether we're talking about oil in Alaska or building nuclear power plants to go from one extreme to the other.
And trade is being debated right now. Capping carbon emissions and being able to trade with other people who you can sell yours to other people or buy from other people who aren't using their carbon emissions. But I'm really concerned about this, Governor, because the government is in a process of commoditizing carbon. They're going to claim that they own those carbons. They're going to give you the permission to emit them, and if you emit more than they think you should do, they're going to tax you on those, and then they're going to keep the tax and spend the tax. Folks, they figured out a way, literally, to tax the emissions from your machines. What's next, Governor? The air we breathe. They're going to tax the carbon, the CO2 that comes out of our mouths.
Well, as we know, last week the Boxer Lieberman Warner bill that had all the cap and trade ideas in it did not get past the Senate.
Right.
But one thing we know for sure is that after this election, when I think the Democrat Party is going to gain a few senators,
exactly,
I don't know how many,
and congressmen,
three, four, five, that's all going to be coming back, and they just want the government to control, to be able to issue the permits, to sell them to some people, to give them to government agencies that, or to individual private agencies that they like. It's kind of modern socialism. The government's going to run the whole energy business, and I think that's very dangerous.
And what's worse than that, though, Governor, is that it almost doesn't matter who the president's going to be next, because this bill you just mentioned, the Lieberman-Warner bill, used to be called the Lieberman-McCain bill.
Oh, yeah, they're both Senators Obama and McCain say they're for it.
I don't understand this.
It's got some very odd things tucked away in it. I mean, one of the things Senator Lieberman talked about was imposing fees on imported goods when we're importing goods from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
If those countries don't have an energy policy that we Americans like, they're going to put taxes on them so that the cost of imported goods goes up. Well, that is protectionism. I think it has nothing to do with energy, and it has a view that we ought to control the economy, and I think that's going to come ahead, too, after this next election. So the cap-and-trade idea has not worked very well in Europe. It might work a little
here. Here's the thing. We've already seen cap-and-trade in action. It's called Kyoto. The Europeans who signed Kyoto are not complying with Kyoto.
Exactly.
The cap-and-trade bill, Governor, the cap-and-trade bill that's being proposed right now is Kyoto on steroids, and it's unilateral. It's only for us.
Oh, it's only for us, and then we would impose all these taxes on goods from foreign countries.
I mean,
it's a bad idea.
Kyoto
was
brought
back
up by... Kyoto was an international thing. This thing is us doing it to ourselves.
Exactly right.
This cap-and-trade thing.
I guess the idea is that we'll set forward a policy that's a good thing, and other nations will see it and go along with it, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
We've got to get some sanity back into this thing, Governor, and let people have to understand that we don't help anything if we set back our marketplace. The marketplace is what makes this economy, what makes this country what it is, not the government. And I do agree that we need to find other alternative fuels, but ruining the economy is not the way to do it.
That's exactly right. We do need to do all the research to find new ways to produce energy. Those are good things, but we don't want to cost America 500,000 or 600,000 jobs in the meantime.
And it doesn't need to be in the people who are in charge of this don't need to be people who hate the marketplace, who hate business. And that's what's going on, right?
You're right. The marketplace is important, and this bill would really hurt it.
That's exactly right. Stand by 10-10. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little about the two candidates and what does Governor DuPont think about the two guys running for president. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we've got our good friend Governor Pete DuPont with us, a great American, former governor of the state of Delaware. Now he's the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. And Governor, let's talk a little bit about the differences between the two presumptive nominees, Senator McCain for the Republicans and Senator Obama for the Democrats. What do you see are the main differences between the two?
Well, Senator Obama is for vastly increasing the size of government, and Senator McCain is for giving individuals and businesses more opportunity to make the decision. So one is kind of a pro-bigger government person, and the other's a market-oriented person. Senator Obama wants to raise the income taxes by getting rid of the Reagan tax cut or the Bush tax cuts, Senator McCain wants to keep them in place.
But he hasn't always been in favor of those, Governor.
No, he hasn't.
What kind of guarantees do we have that he's going to stick with that when he gets elected?
Well, that's a real question. I mean, he was for raising taxes along the way, and now he says he's going to hold them flat, and he can't do very well with Republicans if he says he's going
to
raise the taxes.
Two of the areas that are very important for me are health care and foreign policy, our national security. Talk to us about the differences there in those two.
I think on health care, Senator Obama has kind of the Senator Clinton point of view that there ought to be a national health care system run for the whole country. And yes, you could make private health care choices if you wanted to, but there'd be one national system, kind of like the system Great Britain has. And Senator McCain...
That they wish they didn't have.
That they wish they didn't have, and that causes, surgery gets put off because you're too old. Or,
it created the black market of health care in the country.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Senator McCain is still on the individual health care choices side. Senator Obama is a protectionist. He doesn't like NAFTA. He wants to modify it. He wanted to block some of the other trade agreements. Senator McCain recognizes that free trade is a good thing for the country, so that's a big difference. Senator McCain would keep the taxes lower. Senator Obama would raise them. When it comes to earmarks, we have Senator McCain saying he's going to get rid of them. That's a wonderful idea. But
he's been the champion of that for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, but what a difficult job that is to get by all the congressmen who want them for their constituents.
On both sides of the aisle.
Right. Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. We have kind of a bipartisan...
big spender.
big spending policy. The basic differences are, I think, that Senator McCain is a market-oriented person, and Senator Obama thinks that a bigger government can do better. And he's talking about what? He's talking about a 10% increase in federal spending each year.
Mm-hmm.
A big growth in government, and Senator McCain hopes to hold things flat. So I think we have a traditional campaign here. We have an old-fashioned, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, but a traditional, traditional liberal in Senator Obama, and we have much more of a traditional market-oriented person.
But of all the Republicans, McCain has a progressive side to him, doesn't he?
Oh yes, he does.
That appeals to the independents, doesn't it?
He does, and he ought to do. And of course, his military record is an enormous asset. I mean, my gosh, 5 years in a communist prison. Is a terrible thing, and he was also a wonderful fighter pilot, helping defend our country.
Well, he's definitely strong on defense of the United States, I don't know how it's going to be interesting to see how that debate plays out, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think McCain's going to get the defending American part of the vote.
Yeah. Who do you think's going to win? We got to wrap it up here, Governor. Who do you think's going to win? What do you think the chances are McCain can beat Obama?
I think at the moment Obama's a little bit ahead, and he will be after the conventions come. But come November, I think it's going to be maybe a percentage point and a half only, one way or the other.
Wow. Who do you think is going to be, if you got to pick for vice president?
You know, that's a really interesting question that I haven't got an answer to. I have no idea who they're going to pick.
I think it'll be a wild scenario on both sides, don't you?
I do. Well, the paper this morning said that Al Gore is going to be perhaps be Obama's
choice.
Holy
mackerel. I can't wait. I'd love that. I think that's a perfect choice for him. I want to encourage him to do that.
I couldn't believe it. I opened the paper, and there it was.
Hey, Governor, thanks for being here. Good job today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.